I wish preachers that don't study could hear this, because this is life-changing news this morning. Bible study is old, new, or something else. And the problem you have and I have and believers have, especially when we're between the rock and the hard place, find our faith failing, is we've either never been told this, or we've learned it and forgotten it, or we had it and someone gave us an alternative to the truth we find in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 14. The Bible study is old, new, or something else. Please, please, please turn up the spiritual audio this morning. This is so important. Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 14. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are of the circumcision, but not that only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. I've been at this for a while, 44 years. And I've heard it, I don't know how many times in that length of time. Someone considering becoming a believer, and when they choose not to, the reason goes something like this. Oh, I'd love to, but can I be candid with you, preacher? Yes. I could never live it. What do you mean? If I were to be a believer, I'd have to stop this, 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 this. Not only that, I'd have to start doing this, 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 and this. Oh, and then would you be saved? Well, I would sure try to be. Where does that concept come from? How many people is that concept keeping from the kingdom of God? That it's got something to do not only with faith in Jesus, but some things that we stop doing and a whole lot of other things that we start doing. And if we don't stop doing those and don't start doing the other, we just never make it into the kingdom of God at all. How sad is that? And how unnecessary. Why? Because even though the gospel is too good to be true, it's true, whether we believe it or whether we don't. Amen? I saw a bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Guess what? Take the middle line out. God said it, that settles it. Whether you and I believe it or not doesn't matter. Amen? Gravity is gravity, whether we believe in it or not. If we believe in it, we won't jump off the roof. If we have a better idea, we might do, and we'll perish. God's word is true, even though it seems too good to be true. Look at our text tonight, this morning, chapter 4, verse 6. Even as, what's that connecting with, Pastor? It comes right after a spiritual bombshell that Paul dropped. The Bible says Abraham did what? He believed God, and it was set to his account for right standing with Yahweh. What was the promise that Abraham believed? Look at the Old Covenant, chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. You are going to be the father of many nations. Can you imagine a promise like that to somebody well and truly in Geezerville? Childless. Don't know whether he went to the gym or had herbs or not, but he was beyond the capability of having a child. And what did Yahweh say? You, Abraham, and your barren wife, Sarah, are going to be the father and the mother of multitudes. Made no sense in the natural. That was the promise, and Abraham made an unqualified committal of himself to Yahweh. He believed the promise. And because he believed, it was just like somebody putting money in your bank that you never earned. God set to his account right standing with himself, not because of anything he had done or would do, but because he simply believed a promise to him that he would be the father of many nations. Then Paul lets her fly. Look at it. Romans chapter 4. Best news you've heard in a month of Sundays. Verses 4 and 5. Romans 4, 4 and 5. We're coming up to our text. Even as. In verses 4 and 5, think about this. Paul says, the one who is working, his pay is not a gift, but a debt. How many understand that? Friday comes after a 40-hour work week, and you get your check in the mail. You send your boss a thank you card? Sure, appreciate that. We have someone in our congregation whose boss paid them wages with them working for over a year. Some of the checks were from their personal account, the boss's personal account. That's called a gift. The person was unable to work, yet the boss took pity and as a gift cut checks regularly to keep that person floating. That's a gift. But when you and I work 40 hours or more and receive pay, that's not a gift, that's a debt, right? Work in, pay out. How many are tracking with me? Very important to understand that principle spiritually. To the one working, his pay is not a gift but a debt. However, to the one not working, like Father Abraham, didn't do anything to get the blessing of being a father of many nations. But to the one not working, but believing that God is declaring to be in right standing the ungodly, his believing is continually being set to his account as right standing with God, apart from any corresponding works. Did you get that this morning? Who is God declaring to be in right standing with himself? The good guy, the churchgoer, the tither, the one that witnesses, the one that fasts till his pants fall down, the one that prays three times a day, the one that comes to church every time the doors are open, the one that's always passing out tracts. Who is God declaring to be in right standing, according to Paul? The ungodly. What? The ungodly. Well, where's the justice in that? There isn't any. It's called grace. When's the last time you heard somebody preach this? When's the last time you heard somebody rest in this when bad things happen to them and their family? Well, I believe I could get out of this mess, but you know, I don't always live the way I know I'm supposed to. Have you heard that before? I've heard it for 44 years. Everybody trying to get the ear of God based on what they have done that they consider good, or by getting rid of what they've considered bad from their life. Maybe now I can somehow get enough faith to get her done. They don't understand this. God is declaring the ungodly in right standing with himself. Why? Because they are believing in Jesus. The promise to Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. The promise to us, if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth he's our Lord, we will be saved. That's the promise you and I have to believe. Once we do, we're no longer outside the kingdom. We're inside the kingdom apart from anything we do. And then Paul quotes a passage from the book of Psalms, from the Greek version of the Old Covenant, blessed the ones whose lawlessnesses were forgiven and of whom the sins were covered. blessed, spiritually prosperous, the man to whom the Lord will, umi in Greek, absolutely not charged with sin. Very strong, very good news from the Greek Old Testament for God's people who choose to live by faith. What about that guy at Blackburn Prison in Lexington that told me, oh, I love what you're saying. I love what you're talking about. I love the idea of being a child of God, born from above, starting all over, my slate clean. I'd love to be part of the church you're preaching about, but I've just done so much. Yeah, but the blood took care. Yeah, but boy, I'd have to change my life completely. I'd have to stop doing a lot of the stuff we still do here behind bars. And the next question is this blessing of right standing with God for the ungodly who believe only for Jewish folk or for Gentiles also? That's what Paul asks in verse 9. He refers to Jewish people as the circumcision, because circumcision was the seal, the sign of the covenant for Jewish folk. He refers to you and to me, Gentile folk, as uncircumcised. Is it just for Jews or is it for Gentiles too? The answer to this is absolutely astounding. It is spiritually mind-blowing. Not knowing this, not believing this, not understanding this is what is keeping millions of people in bondage to Satan and his crowd. It is dooming millions of people to the second death, because this hasn't been preached, this hasn't been believed, this hasn't been lived and walked in. How sad. How sad. Please, please, please get a hold of this. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. It's not about not doing that and starting to do the other. It's all about believing, trusting, having confidence only in him. Oh, this large denomination is being rocked to its core right now, isn't it? As sin in the camp is being dramatically exposed. One commentator said it's the worst thing that's happened to this church since the Protestant Reformation. How in the world can we escape religion and maintain a relationship with God by believing this book? By believing God's word, by trusting not in man, not in an intermediary, somebody, a broker between us and God, but the God-man himself who is the intermediary. Too good to be true? Yes. Let's go to the second question. Old law, new law, or something else? Romans chapter 4. How then was it reckoned? In circumcision or in uncircumcision? Very important. When God set to Abraham's account right standing with himself because he simply believed the unbelievable, you're going to be a father of many nations. Amen, Lord. He was hobbling along firmly in Gezerville, his wife barren. And yet he believed the unbelievable. And because he believed, God set to his account right standing with himself. Just like I would put $5,000 in your bank account, you did nothing to earn it, a gift. How was it set to his account? When he was circumcised or when he was uncircumcised? Remember, circumcision of the male child in the Hebrew religion took place at the age of 13 at that young boy's bar mitzvah, when he became, quote unquote, a son of the law. It was a sign, a seal, an outward proof that he was a child of the covenant and following in the footsteps of his father Abraham, trusting in Yahweh as Lord. It was done for all of the males in Israel to keep Yahweh's covenant people different and separate and apart from the nations surrounding them. Now let's ask the question again. When did Abraham get that wonderful blessing of right standing with God apart from any works, simply through his faith in the promise? When he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Thank you. 14 years before he was circumcised. 14 years. Well, why is that so important, Pastor? Because circumcision is a picture of a lot of things we do in the Christian faith, like water baptism, like attending church, like praying, like having the Lord's Supper, like fasting, like worship, like witness, operating in the spiritual gifts, supporting the work of the ministry, praying for the sick, reading the Bible, anything and everything you can think of that Christians ought to be doing. It's the same thing as Abraham's circumcision. It follows our believing. Are you with me this morning? When was Abraham declared in right standing with Yahweh? After he had the covenant sign or before? When are you and I declared to be in right standing with God? After our baptism in water? After the Lord's Supper, after all these Christian things we do, or before? A lot of believers aren't sure. Oh, Pastor, can you rush over to the house? Why? Sister Hoopinanny has stopped by here. She's a close friend. She's at death's door. She hadn't been baptized. Could you please somehow get here before she passes on? She hadn't been baptized. What do those believers think? What do they think? Their right standing with God is dependent upon something Sister Hoopinanny does or doesn't do. You see how practical this is. How many times I've been on the phone with someone wanting to visit the church. Now, when it comes to water baptism, how do you do it? Do you sprinkle, pour, or immerse? Immerse. Now, when you immerse, what words do you say? What are they telling me? Something I do and how I do it determines whether or not I'm in right standing with God. Do you understand this morning how this is not pie in the sky or something airy-fairy up here in outer space? This is very, 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 very practical. Who is God declaring in right standing with himself according to Paul? Ungodly people. And it's actually a present participle. God our Father is in the process of constantly saying, you're right, you're right, you're right, while we're wrong, 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 wrong. If and only if our faith is in Jesus. In verses 11 and 12, Paul continues, circumcision was a sign or seal. The word is svaryida, svaryida. Picture a little letter you see in some of these period pieces on motion pictures where there's a letter and you turn it over and there's red wax holding the thing shut. And it's got a little imprint maybe of the king or whatever. That's a svaryida. That's a seal. It's an outward sign that everybody can read so they know, oh, wow, this is the real deal. This came fresh from the hand of the king. Wow, big news in there. That's what circumcision is considered according to the Bible, an outward sign or seal that shows people something that they need to see. Very much like water baptism for you or for me, an outward sign of something spiritual that's happened on the inside. Why did he get circumcision? So that he could be considered the father of everyone who believes, Gentiles as well as Jews. He's the spiritual father of his own kin after the flesh, the Jews. He's also spiritually connected with his kin after the spirit, Gentiles, who have the same faith in Yahweh that he did. Now, our Christian life, our acceptance with God, what does it come from again, Paul? something that we believe and do from the old covenant, or maybe something new from the new covenant that we believe in and practice on a daily basis? Paul, how can we be sure we're in right standing with God? What does the Bible say? What does the old covenant say? What does the new covenant say? What does the Spirit of God witness to us? Glad you asked. Romans chapter 4, 6 through 14. You hanging with me? Hang with me or you'll hang separately. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the right standing through faith. How many see that? Best news you've heard all week. Especially when you get sick or have a financial reverse or relationship problem or a problem on the job, anything requiring God's intervention, which operates by faith, and you say to yourself, well, I believe I could get delivered if I just hadn't gone there. Oh, gee whiz. If I'd have just gone to church four Sundays last month instead of just two, I believe God would look favorably on me. Let's get past this. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through law, but through the right standing he had through faith. Three wonder facts stand out here. Would you like them? The first is promise. Everybody say promise. There are two words for promise in the Greek New Testament. This one is epangelia. What's the difference, Pastor? Oh, there's a big difference. Epangelia is an unconditional promise. Unconditional. Now, what does that mean? Thank you. No conditions. I'm going to make you a father of many nations not circumcision wasn't mentioned there, was it? Nothing was. I'm going to make you a father of many nations, period. Epangelia means a promise with no conditions. There's another Greek word that means a promise that's conditional. I'll do this if you'll do this. That's where most believers live. That's what most unbelievers think Christianity is. If I do this, God will do this. If I keep on doing this, God will keep on doing that. If I stop doing this, then God won't do that. That's not the gospel. That's not good news. That's not grace. That's a debt God owes you because of what you've worked at. Epangelia, an unconditional promise. The second word, seed. Everybody say seed. Two different ways of using this word in the New Testament. This one is spermata, which refers only to descendants, people. It's not sporos or spora, from spiro to sow. It's talking particularly about people. So an unconditional promise to Abraham and to some people that follow him in his faith. Number three, it's not through the law. Everybody say law. Now think about this, beloved. Normally in the New Testament, when Paul is talking about the Torah, the Old Testament law of the Jews, like the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, and other laws, normally he always uses an article, the law, the Old Testament law. Let me ask you a question. When Abraham believed God regarding being a father of many nations, even though it was impossible, and God set his faith to his account as right standing with him, was the Old Testament law in force? Were the Big Ten already penned on stone? The law didn't come into existence for another four centuries. It was 430 years later that God instituted the Old Testament law. So when God tells you and me it's not through law, he's obviously not talking only about the Old Covenant law, because the Old Covenant law wasn't there when Abraham believed God. Moses hadn't gotten the law yet. Are you tracking with me? That's why he doesn't put an article there. It's not through any kind of law or principle at all. It's got nothing to do with what you and I do or don't do or fail at. You guys awake or what? I'm trying to get us on shouting ground. There are whole Christian groups that are placing you and me in hell if we don't worship on Friday night or Saturday morning because it's part of the Big Ten and we have to keep those to believe God. We have to keep those in order to be acceptable to God. And yet, the father of the faith, Abraham, hadn't even heard of the Sabbath law when he was declared in right standing with Yahweh. That wouldn't happen for another four centuries. How many believe to see Abraham in heaven? I believe he made it without keeping the Sabbath. How about you? Wow. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. It's an unconditional promise. It's not just to Abraham, but to his seed, spermata, his descendants, people. And it's not through any kind of law. The Old Testament Torah, it didn't even exist then. But what about some new laws? How about for believers, things like the Beatitudes? The pure in heart shall see God. How many believe that's true? Hunger and thirst after righteousness and you'll be filled. How many believe that's true? When you're persecuted, kick up your heels and dance. That's how they treated the prophets before you. How many have heard of some epistle exhortations? Neglect not the coming of yourselves together. Support the work of the ministry. Forgive one another if someone does something. How many? No, there are hundreds of laws, quote unquote, in the New Testament epistles, exhortations. How about those things? Is that what God is requiring of you and me? Hey, don't misunderstand. Of course, we love the Beatitudes. Of course, they're wonderful guidelines, and we ought to incorporate them into our lifestyle. All the exhortations in the New Testament epistles are there for us to follow. They're guidelines. They're wonderful. They bless us. They glorify God. They normally bless someone else. My question is, are any of those things contributing to our right standing with God? According to Paul, no. No, no. When was Abraham declared in right standing? Before or after he submitted himself to a work like circumcision? 14 years before. What about the Old Testament law? Hadn't even arrived yet. Last time I looked, it's still true. God is only declaring in right standing with himself today one group of people. They're not believing the promise given to Abraham because it wasn't given to them. They were believing another promise that God sent Jesus to the earth to die in our place and in our name, to be buried and raised from the dead that we might have eternal life. If we believe that and make that person Lord, you and I and every other ungodly yet believing person is declared to be in right standing with God, not just on Sunday, but continuously. And some denominations talk about being in or out of a state of grace, depending on whether you've crossed that T or dotted that I or not. And all the while, God says, I'm declaring in right standing only one group of people, ungodly people who believe. What do they live like? They live like Jesus, not perfectly, but they follow his commandment of love best they can. They look into the epistles and see some exhortations that apply to their lifestyle. They choose those. They put God first. They love themselves. They love others as they love themselves. But they're not trusting in any of those things to give them what can only be received as a gift. The spiritual lightning bolt answers this question. Circumcision for Abraham was just like a lot of New Testament items are for believers. Circumcision didn't bring right standing to Abraham. It only sealed it. Guess what? When you and I try to follow the Beatitudes and try to best we can follow the principles and the epistles, our good new works are proving we're living a different life and have a different life, just like Abraham's sign of circumcision proved. He was different and separate and in a different covenant. How many are tracking with me this morning? Is this cool or is this ultra cool? Is this the best thing you've heard in a month of Sundays? Is this too good to be true? Are you happy to receive a gift rather than what you've got coming to you, quote unquote? Does this put into perspective the Beatitudes, the exhortations in the epistles, and everything else Christian that you and I do or should do or ought to do? Of course. It's like Martin Luther discovered 500 years ago. Wow. Because of my faith as an ungodly person, because of my faith in the godly one Jesus, and because of my making him Lord and believing the promise that if I would do that, I would have eternal life. It's all good between me and God. It's all good. Any question has been erased. It's all good. Oh, well, now what should I do? See how I can best bless my brother or sister for the balance of my life. It's all good between me and God. Now what? Now I'm free to walk and talk and live like a son or a daughter of God and be a container of eternal life to people round about me who have yet believed and received. Is it the old law you and I should be entangled with, or a new law? Or is it something else? Thank God, it's something else. It's called faith in Jesus. Salvation by faith in Jesus, plus nothing, minus nothing. A faith that causes us to live by the leadership of his indwelling Holy Spirit. A faith that produces some wonderful things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, and self-control. It produces marvelous works like supernatural manifestations of the word of wisdom and knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and special faith. It reaches out, and when it sees a brother or a sister in need, it brings the blessing. It loves other people as one loves oneself. It's the fruit of a new life because of being born from above. Not something old, not something new, something else. Salvation by faith and faith alone, received as a gift from a loving Father. A faith that changes our works and causes us to look like people from another world while we're still in this world. And thank God, no longer of it. Father, thank you today.